Now we take you back to the night of March 5th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
By the way, everybody, I told you that we would have an open line segment Friday. I lied. Actually, I've been summoned to a convention, and I'm not going to be here Friday. Ian Punnett will be filling in for me on Friday only, Friday night, Saturday morning. And I'm not exactly sure who he's going to have on just yet, but that will be apparent on the website shortly. I'm going to a radio and records talk radio convention in California. And there I will have a one-on-one with Matt Drudge, none other than Matt Drudge. That should be really, really interesting. So I'm going to split for California for a very short time, and you'll have Ian Punnett here Friday night, Saturday morning. Therefore, I will schedule open line segments. I will find time. If I have to do rescheduling, I guarantee you we will get open line segments in. The single most requested open line segment, by the way. Remember I suggested last week that you tell me what you would like? Well, leading the pack by far is the Antichrist line. Second to that would be time travelers. But for some reason, there is a great fascination with the Antichrist and those who may be working with or for him. And Kathleen, you're back on the air again. I'm going to choose, I think, not to air the organization, the name of the organization, nor the name of the Antichrist. However, it is both, I guess, are on your website?
Yes. All the information is there, although the website went down about an hour ago.
It did?
It did, but it should be back up. And I've given enough clues in the final warning as to who it is. At the time when I wrote it, I couldn't name him. But there are enough clues that anybody looking for him could find
you him. You have now done so. And, you know, it's interesting, the person that you name was to be, you're not going to believe this, that person was promised to me as a guest.
I believe it.
Do you believe it?
Yes,
it's
because
true.
They want your power on the airwaves.
It's true. That person was promised to me as a guest. They would not unveil this person to the world on my program. They had promised that elsewhere, but right after that they were going to allow me to have this person as a guest, and you're telling me this person, we both know who we're talking about now, is the Antichrist.
Yes, but he wasn't going to be unveiled on your show that way. He was going to be the Savior.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You're correct. Was going to be unveiled as a Savior, but that person you're saying is the Antichrist, and when your website does get back up eventually, people can go to it and find out who it is, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and I even have the Bible code referring to it.
How did you come to get involved in the Bible code business, Kathleen?
It was another tool of research, and it was brought to my attention by a lot of researchers and theologians. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, I'd take a look at it. It may not have been anything that I thought was going to work out, but the more I got into it, the more I thought that, boy, this is the real article. Well, I don't know if you work with it at all, Art.
No, I have not yet. I mean, I know, obviously, something about it. But I don't know what it reveals. So assist me, Kathleen. What do we find as we begin to look through the front of the Bible through the eyes of the decoder?
Well, first of all, God dictated the Bible to Moses letter by letter, with absolutely no spaces. And I do believe that Daniel was given that information as to what this would reveal to us. I mean, if you take a look at Dick Cheney, for instance, just because of what was in the news today with his heart,
yes,
he came up in the Bible code. And I've got it up on the website if it ever comes back up. And he's listed there as a vice president with his wife, Lynn. Her name is there. Heart is listed. Power, the UN, apparently, upheaval and war, and just fascinating things. Now, there are five paths for every person in the Bible code. You know, we have free will, so whatever we choose to do with our lives is reflected in the code.
Again, people would ask, why would God encode anything? Why not just let it be plain words, easy to understand for all?
Because I think it would impinge on free will. I think that if we knew our futures, we might not make the same decisions, and we certainly wouldn't learn from our mistakes.
again, why then put it in there at all? Why would God put it in any form, including an encoded manner?
In our time, I believe that lies are so prevalent that the truth will be a scarce commodity. It already is becoming that. And I think that the code certainly gives us the fact, I mean, it mentions that God is truth. It gives us a foundation that he's real, that he cares about us, that people that, you know, Aunt Sally is listed in the Bible code. Not everyone's in there, but a lot of events are, and things that couldn't possibly have been known other than in the mind of God. And I think that we're going to need that badly to know that he's real.
How are you able to validate that the software that breaks down the truth or the message behind the message is valid?
Well, through trial and error, and I think that you can confirm it with rabbis who, of course, know the Hebrew backwards and forwards, that they can find the code if they know where to look, that they can find those letters and how it relates from Hebrew into English. And I think that you can find certain particular subject matters. I mean, like the Kursk was mentioned, the USS Cole was mentioned, things that, you know, how many people died on the ship, things like that that we couldn't possibly plug in. It's just concrete right there.
And you've seen all that in continuing language. In other words, you don't just pick up Kursk and then another random number 5 pages later and put those two together.
No, no, no. These words intersect one another.
They intersect one another. That's worrisome.
Well, it is. And you look at Dick Cheney. Dick and Cheney go together.
Yes.
Heart goes across. It's all there. It's not like, well, okay, three chapters later in the Bible we'll find another meaning perhaps that relates to Dick Cheney or to the Antichrist for that matter, or George Bush. The Secret Service took the Bible code so seriously when people have discovered that certain leaders might be assassinated, that they're starting to listen to it and starting to believe that maybe it has some real meaning.
All right. Do we know for sure that whether there's been an increase in America, in fact, in the world, really, but certainly in America and in the Western world, demonic activity, possession, that kind of thing is really, really kept behind closed doors for the most part. Do we know whether demonic possession is on the increase in our country or in the world?
We do know. It is on the increase, and there's been a change in the exorcist rite in the Catholic Church. They removed Satan from the text, which is a curious move.
What?
Yeah, they have not the text that Father Martin would have used, the effective text, but they have changed. They don't want to say demon. You know, they don't want to get too personal.
Just, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nightmare. And I think as we see more possessions, we're going to have a terrible time because perhaps these exorcisms may not be as effective.
Well, obviously not. If they're fooling around with the wording, it sounds like some sort of PC exorcist, right?
Seriously, you know, you can take it, a course online or something and learn how to do it.
Well, when I talked to Father Martin, he gave me some incredibly disturbing figures about the amount of possession, and he could only comment on his area in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave me some very disturbing figures about the incredible increase in just his area. And you're saying you're able to verify that nationwide or even worldwide?
I think he said something like 800%.
Yeah, that's right.
And but it's up even further than that in the past few years.
Do you,
way up.
Do you believe that a children like the 15-year-old that did the shooting in Santee in school are possessed?
I don't know if they're completely possessed, but I think that they are controlled. I think they allow that control, and I think they're utilized. And I only say that from basing things on a personal experience that I had, that people can be gotten to, people can be controlled, and they can do things that they would not normally do. And they become so engulfed in the doctrine of the dark side that they will kill at a moment's notice. That something like a switch happens. It's flipped, and the person changes. And
can this be, in essence, against that person's will?
No. again, I think you have rules there. You have to allow it, you know, whether they get you through ego or whatever.
See, I ask you this because if it's against somebody's will, then the argument for punishment, if you really believe as you believe, has got to change. But if you're saying that the person has to, in effect, make that deal and give their will or give themselves to possession or to the will or influence of the dark, then perhaps punishment, as is met out, you know, in our everyday world, in the judicial system, is appropriate.
I think it is, and in this case, with this 15-year-old, the smile on his face, the pleasure he took, that's evil.
It sure does. It sure does seem that way,
right,
Kathleen? I don't know what other thing to put on it. I look at what happens. I hear about the smiling and the shooting, and it's so far out from any human experience, any frame of reference that any of us might have, that it really does seem like evil. And you're saying it really is evil.
I really think so, because I don't think that, I mean, a 15-year-old has seen a lot of movies and stuff with gunfire. Usually if they fire something, it scares them and they come to their senses. But in this case, he stopped to reload the gun and smiled through the whole thing.
So,
and
I heard, yes.
Would have taken everybody out. He could have.
I have speculated for some time, because of the amount of UFO sightings, the amount of paranormal activity, which of course we monitor disproportionately on this radio program, and there's a tremendous amount of it, Kathleen, tremendous amount of it.
Wait.
That the veil or the separation between ourselves and what is on the other side, which you and I might agree or disagree on, is breaking down or getting thinner.
It's getting so thin that children are actually seeing through it. They have, I think they're a little closer to God, and I think they have a little more ability. They're not shut down with all of the stuff in their lives. They have a very simple lifestyle, and children are seeing demons coming through the veil. They are seeing demonic entities in spaceships. They are seeing that there is a plot. Some kids are even brought into the plan. They know what's going to happen. They know we're going to be attacked, or whatever is going to take place. You have to listen to children, you know, 3 and 4 years old, that don't lie.
A lot of people, of course, are scared by what you say. A lot of people are reactive to what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Here's somebody from Dallas, Guy from Dallas, who says, Kathleen is so far gone, she can't see anything about the world beyond her own small description. She's lost objectivity and judges all who do not agree with her or Father Martin.
I don't judge anybody, and I certainly don't judge anybody that disagrees with me. If I'm wrong, that would be great. I understand where that person's coming from, because this is very serious material and very hard to get across. You can hear all the cries of fear-mongering and whatever.
Oh, yes.
And to sell books. That isn't the intent. I think the truth has to be told, and we have to get it out there. And if it turns out that I'm right in a year or two, well, then so be it. You'll have at least heard of it. I don't care what you think of me. It isn't important. But what is going to happen is what's going to happen to your family. If this doesn't come down the way you think it is, what are you going to do?
You say here, prophecies predict that pictures will speak, and that newborns will talk to their parents and encourage them to follow the Antichrist.
Right. We're going to see startling miracles.
What do you mean by pictures will speak?
A lot of people have holy pictures of Jesus and Mary and saints on their walls.
Yes.
They may even have a picture of Grandma and Grandpa. And those pictures will start to talk in the end times. Von Busto, a prophet in the 15th century, mentioned that pictures would suddenly come alive, and especially like of Jesus and Mary, that you have to follow this Antichrist. I'm not the one. I came before him, but I'm not the one. He's
Kathleen, if I had a picture of Christ on my wall and it began to talk, I would presume that it was Christ talking to me. I obviously would first probably sink to my knees in fright, like most people.
Sure.
But since it was the picture of Christ, I would definitely presume that was Christ talking to me.
Absolutely, and it would be very convincing, wouldn't it? And I think that's going to be the problem with the end times, because a lot of people are seeing visions. They're having dreams of Jesus that aren't really Jesus, because when they go to this particular person that is the Antichrist, and they go, oh my gosh, that's the guy in my dream, and that wasn't the Lord. They're like, they're floored. More and more people are having the dreams. More and more people think that the Lord is communicating with them, or the Virgin Mary is communicating.
Yes, in fact, I talked to somebody earlier today, a very lucid person who claims that he talks with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you would say he does not?
Oh, I wouldn't know. I would have to go through what he's hearing and what has been said to him, and whether it is validated by the fruits of how he lives his life. Sooner or later, if it's not good, that person will bear the fruit of what the vision is, good or bad.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, and it's going to get real confusing, Art, with these end times.
Well, that's exactly what I was about to say. That's mm-hmm. very confusing. I would automatically presume it was Christ talking to me. Believe me,
sure
if the picture started, you wouldn't, huh?
No, I would get the holy water out and pray to God that it was the Lord. And that's why you have to ask, if you get a vision or someone talking to you, you have to say, who do you pray to? Who is your Savior?
But, I mean, isn't that like Moses saying, ah, baloney, and stomping out the burning bush?
I think he was so moved he couldn't. I guess
I'm saying, what if it is God?
God would understand, because he would tell you. I mean, there would be ways. He would say that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the one and only. There are ways that heaven confirms that it's true visions instead of, you know, the dark side.
That's good to know. Is the image, you say the image of the beast
mm-hmm.
is being built. What do you mean by that?
There is a temple being built now in India that's going to be taller than the Empire or the Statue of Liberty, and it's going to be about 500 feet. It's going to be a Buddha that almost fits the description in the Book of Revelation, to the point that there's no doubt that this is going to be the genuine article to be worshipped by the year 2005. A UK firm is putting it together. It's going to be so massive, it's going to house a temple and rooms and so forth, and they have to even construct it carefully because the metal almost kind of breathes with the atmosphere.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Very scary stuff.
Now, I'd like to get your take on this. I don't know if you've seen the news in the last couple of days, but in Afghanistan, the Taliban there is blowing up. They found these large statues of Buddha.
Yes.
Gigantic, incredible statues of Buddha in mm-hmm. Afghanistan, and they are taking dynamite and blowing them to smithereens.
Under the cause that it's false idols, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What would you say about that?
Well, they're certainly determined. I think that they believe in the one true God, and they find that any infidel representation like that should be destroyed.
But that would not be the same God that you revere, would it be?
I think there is one true God, and I think that the Muslims do believe in that one God. But I don't think that they admit to the divinity of Jesus Christ, and that's where we differ.
But that would be a chasm of difference that would doom them to eternal fire and damnation, wouldn't it?
I think it depends on the life they lead, Art. I think if they're good people, that God judges them for what they are. If they don't know that Christ is the Savior, then I think that isn't held against them.
That's pretty lenient compared to what Father Martin used to say. I used to ask him about this, and he was very stridently conservative in this area, and he...
Well, I admit, Father Martin would say, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you're doomed.
Right.
Absolutely, and I believe that in many instances. I think if you've never heard of Christ, you can't be held accountable. But I think in the case of denying his divinity, in the case of the Muslims who believe in the Blessed Mother as being a good woman and that Jesus was a prophet, for them not to accept him as the Lord, I think that there's an intrinsic problem with that.
Gotcha. All right, Kathleen, hold on. We're already at the bottom of the hour. Time does fly. We'll do a little more. Then we'll open the phone lines, and I'm sure there are many questions for you out there. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from March 5th, 2001.